Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Educating Josh, in which the three of us, Lucy Bella Earl, James O'Neill, and I, Luke Cupforth, bring together three of the most divisive stories of the week. Our wonderful Josh Winslade will have 20 seconds to respond with his gut feeling on the story with absolutely no research, after which we will have an attempt at Educating Josh. Make sure you stick around to the end for the quick fire question round with some of your questions from social media. Don't forget to follow us at Educating Josh on all socials, subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or your podcast app of choice. Lucy, welcome back to the show this week.
Oh, it's so good to be back.
We missed you last week.
Although I already missed Jake. I loved Jake.
He did such a good job. I felt very threatened.
He was so good. He was fantastic.
And he is now officially part of the Educating Josh family because Leanne said on Twitter that she was playing Pokemon on the first leg of a journey. The first Pokemon she caught were named after Josh, Luke, James, Lucy, and Jake. That's really sweet. We're all Pokemon now, guys.
I love that.
I kind of want to know what Pokemon I am.
I don't know.
Did she specify?
Yes.
Did she specify?
Josh Winslade. Yeah, sorry. Josh, you're a Pidgey.
No, I'm not happy at all.
Pidgeys are cute.
I'm a Pansage. James is a Panpour, Jake is a Pikachu, and Lucy, you're a Buneary. Do you know what that is?
No, I don't.
Buneary's are cute.
Okay.
Oh, thanks.
Anyway, should we move on to the poll results?
I'm getting glared at by the producer, so I think
James, your story was first last week. How did your poll perform?
My question last week was, should skirts be banned in schools so everyone is dressed equally?
And how did Twitter react?
It was very decisive. 89% of people said no.
Right, well, we can move on from that one.
Cool.
Next poll. Yes, and Perry said on Twitter, I work for a school and there's so much drama about gender fluid uniforms. Just offer a skirt and a trouser option and let the kids pick. Fantastic. My story was second last week and I asked, do economically stable countries have a moral obligation to allow migrants in? Now, we were very divided on this in the podcast, but on Twitter, it was very decisive with 61% yes.
I don't think that's very decisive.
61%, that's pretty decisive.
So. It's more decisive than Brexit.
Yes.
We'll get a little bit later in the podcast, Josh. And Loie said on Twitter, I'd like to ask you this question. If you saw a guy who's drowning and you had a stick you could give him to hold onto and save him, are you morally obliged to do that? Because that's basically his metaphorical example of what we were talking about.
Well, the metaphor's
wrong. But what if your own children are dying too?
And then Madge said, especially if you're the one who put him into the water, which is kind of what you were talking about, Josh, which is basically, mess these countries up.
But they've also put themselves in the water.
All right, fantastic. And Lucy, Jake's story was last. Could you please give us Jake's story results?
Yes, he asked if puberty-blocking drugs should be available to under-16s, and 62% of people said yes.
I'm surprised so many said no. It was interesting. I didn't think I did a very good job of debating with Jake. I think Jake put across an amazing case for what he believed, and he almost convinced me towards the end.
And we had a reply from Aylin on Twitter, which was similar to an answer Josh gave in a previous story about abortion, basically saying that because they identify with the sex they were born as, they shouldn't really have an opinion on this, and it's down to people who are going to take this medication to decide.
I don't know. Is it parents when their children are underage? I don't know if I 100% agree with that.
Okay, interesting. Well, anyway, we're going to move on to our first story of the week, and that is my story. Josh, my story comes from The Independent, and it is that Nigel Farage threatens to return as UKIP leader unless Brexit is put back on track. The three things you need to know are, on Sunday, Theresa May held a meeting at her country residence, Chequers, where they agreed a soft Brexit deal with her cabinet. The deal has meant a big shift in the number of key policies, crucially around the UK having a free trade agreement with the rest of the EU. Since Sunday, a number of pro-Brexit front bench ministers have quit their posts, including David Davis and Boris Johnson, the Foreign Secretary. Nigel Farage has also publicly stated that if Brexit is not put back on track, then he aims to return as the leader of UKIP. Josh, my question is quite a broad question, but do the British public have a right to a second referendum?
No.
Twenty seconds, Josh. 20 seconds of my life.
I don't need a twenty seconds.
No.
20 seconds.
20 seconds, Josh. Go.
No.
Why not?
They voted. We can't throw your dummy out the pram and go, it wasn't what I wanted. I want another one. We voted. That's the vote.
So do you not think that we have any... Do you think it's undemocratic, for example, to request a second referendum?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know okay. whether it's undemocratic or not. I just think that we voted. We voted. It's like, you know, England lose by one goal on the semi-finals. We're not going to get another chance because it was by one goal or 1% or whatever. It's like, we've got to win it. Sorry, yes. I'm a bit hyped on football, by the way. You may notice in this week's podcast.
I'm already not following.
Josh, yeah. Is it coming home?
It is coming home. It's coming home, guys.
Josh has promised to get that in many times this podcast.
Yes.
But so, for example, Josh, you use the example of football, right? But we have found out that plenty of cheating was going on in the Brexit campaign.
On both sides?
Well, mostly on the Brexit side. And so if there was a situation where England played Germany, for example, and it turned out that one of them had cheated, would you not want a rematch? Would you just go, oh, well, like, the game's done, off we go?
I think there was enough misinformation on both sides that...
Well, no. All I mean is that the Brexit camp is being taken to court, not the Remain camp is not being taken to court. So does that not mean that one side cheated more than the other?
I don't know how much it is people's own kind of, it's up to people to go out and educate themselves a little bit. I don't think you could make an opinion up based on what either side said during the Brexit campaign. Like, it was ridiculous. It just turned into complete, it was like American politics. It was gross.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was so confusing. It really was hard to follow.
No one knew anything. And it's kind of, that's why when I voted, I took it back to, I was ignored all the policies everyone else was talking about and kind of.
Yeah, because you have your own reasons behind
that. I have my own reasons for what I voted on and what I believe and stuff, and that's kind of a difference. But so I don't believe the British public have a right to a second referendum. I don't understand why Nigel Farage is threatening to return as UKIP leader.
It's because like,
unless it's put back on track.
Like, listen, you.
Like he did such a good job and I'm going to come back and sort out this country because I'm so amazing.
Well,
like,
I think because he is a very popular figure among his fan base.
Among a lot of racists, yeah.
Are you a Farage?
Said on the podcast last week that he wasn't racist.
No, I said just because something you do looks racist doesn't make it racist.
Doesn't it?
No, I said he's popular among racists. I didn't say he was racist.
Okay, right. Fair enough then.
Are you telling me he's not popular among racists?
Yes, I think he's probably
popular. If you're popular among racists.
It's a bad sign.
It's a bad sign if you're popular among racists, I think.
Yes.
Well, it depends which way you fall.
It doesn't mean you are racist.
So Josh, for example, if there was a situation where Remain had won, do you think that the Brexit camp would have just shut up and gone, right, well, that's it. Like, they won, fair and square. Like, let's just go back to our little racist holes and shut up for a generation.
Well, I don't know. But it's kind of hypothetical, isn't it? And even if they did, they could be told to, no, we voted and stop it and be quiet sort of thing. Like, I don't...
No Brexit means no Brexit.
It's interesting, though, because what they're actually requesting, more specifically, and also for our foreign listeners, I'll give a little bit of background on this, because basically what's happening is we voted to leave the European Union, and then it turned out that our government is pursuing something which the Brexiteers don't believe is what they actually wanted to vote for. And so what we're actually going for here and what people are campaigning for is not a second referendum on whether we leave the European Union. They're not going, we just need to redo that one because that was fake, right? They're going, we need to vote on what the final deal is. And so we've got Theresa May, our Prime Minister, in government, making this deal, which apparently is going to be pretty soft, i.e. we still have mostly free trade, mostly free movement, which is not really what people voted for. Mm-hmm. And so we're asking for a second referendum on that final deal. The government goes, this is the deal, right country, do you want it? Mm-hmm. Do you not think that's a good idea?
But when do you stop? At what point
after
do you
that
stop?
Because we go, we've got this deal, do we do it? Yes, no.
Okay,
yes,
no. So then they go and change it. And how many times do you change it until, and what if one thing you're not happy with and then there's another little thing that this person's not happy with? And
it is exhausting,
The best result is that everyone is slightly disappointed. I think that would be just the ideal. Like in mediation.
Everyone.
Everyone's
so British.
Sad.
The best result is no one's happy. As long as no one's happy, it's fine.
What I meant.
As long as we're all miserable together, it's fine, guys.
No, like when you enter into court mediation, the best way for something to end is that no one is elated and everybody is just average or slightly disappointed. Everyone is slightly disappointed because it means that there's no extreme. It means that it's kind of a middle ground.
Sure,
what I meant by that.
But Luke is right in that people didn't vote for the Brexit that is now happening. This soft Brexit isn't what people wanted. So I think it's...
I actually think it's not what any of us want.
It's not what anybody wants. It's not what the pro-Brexit people wanted or the, you know, the people against Brexit wanted. It's ridiculous. So
basically what Lucy said, everyone's disappointed. Yay, soft Brexit.
Is that a fair assumption?
Everyone's disappointed apart from Theresa May.
Yeah.
So when she
but we're
first
all disappointed
it,
with Theresa May.
Well, everyone's disappointed, but she's got exactly what she wanted, I think. I think she's known the whole time exactly what she wanted to do. And
Lucy,
how she
James,
wanted to
what do you think? What would you, if you were given the option for a second referendum, would you choose to vote? I'm not asking you what you'd vote, but do you think it's a good idea?
No, what's done is done for me. I wasn't convinced on either side 100%, but I just think it would be even longer, a massive waste of time, really. I don't think that we're going to get a clear-cut answer with that.
Yeah, I have to agree. I would love a second referendum, but because I didn't get to vote the first time around, because I was too young. I was 17 at the time. I was like 2 weeks off my 18th birthday.
Sweet child of mine.
So I'd love one, but I don't think
I think
have
in
one.
The interim, the people that have turned of age since the time are enough to have swayed the vote.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
I think that's a fact that I've heard. Definitely. That in the time it's
that
taken...
That wouldn't surprise me. I think we should just have a referendum.
The amount of people that have died as well.
So the amount of people that have died, yeah, and the amount of people that have turned 18.
James, you come from Australia, or you lived in Australia for a very long time, where they have a very hard border. That's a big thing there, is that they don't really let migrants, they often don't even let asylum seekers in.
Asylum seekers come over on boats, and there's the whole, like, turn away the boats campaign and stop the boats campaign and send them back to where they came from.
And they're really scared of
that's lots a very long
of,
way.
It's, yeah, it's a very long
and
way.
Is that supported
quite,
out there?
Quite a journey. I mean, too much, yeah.
Okay.
I think it's slightly coming back the right way, in quotes. I'm doing quotes here. The right way.
I'm doing quotes here, guys.
It's becoming more like Britain. Which I think is a good thing, but...
Mm. All right, well, I think we pretty much agreed. Like, I do wish we'd had the alternative vote, like the Remain, but I don't really know all that much about it. None of us really do we? We're all
that's
a little bit lost.
That's the thing, I can't talk about it because I've no clue what went on during that campaign.
Yeah.
What was true, what was wrong. Well, I don't study economics, so I don't have the slightest idea. And it doesn't look like the very clever people that study economics have the slightest idea what it means and what's going to happen. So... That's when I cast my vote, it was based on what I thought was little common sense things based on my beliefs and my morals. It wasn't anything to do with borders and money.
And so basically the whole thing's just a mess. So we just kind of want to leave it, let it die, get on with it and shut up about it.
Is anyone else just so bored of Brexit?
So boring.
Just want it to happen or not happen and then...
What's
the biggest difference between a soft Brexit and a hard Brexit?
Well, like a soft...
Because to me, it's like soft tacos and hard tacos.
Soft Brexit is essentially you leave the European Union, but you keep in place like the trade agreements and the freedom of movement. You're basically in the European Union without being in the European Union.
Right.
So you have lots of little deals that basically mean there's no different, except the name is you're not in the European
Union.
So
people want to feel independent, but then...
But don't want independence.
Don't want independence, but still want to have the support of everyone else.
Yes.
So we're independent on a technicality.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to have to move on, but thank you. We pretty much agreed on that one. That was good. The next story of the week
is... Well, we agreed that Brexit is boring, guys, and we're done with it.
You can let us know what you think on Twitter in our polls at Educating Josh. It's time for the next story. That's Lucy's story.
Okay, my story comes from the Evening Standard. Is it okay to sunbathe naked in your own back garden?
Yes.
Wait a second. Police warn some worshippers to tell their neighbours first. Here are the three things you need to know, Josh. In the midst of the current heatwave that's sweeping the UK, Surrey police have issued a warning to all the sun worshippers across the country who plan to sunbathe topless in their own gardens. Whilst it's not actually illegal to be naked in public unless there is proven intention to shock and upset, the Crown Prosecution Service states, in the case of naturism, a balance needs to be struck between the naturist's right to freedom of expression and the right of the wider public to be protected from harassment, alarm and distress. The Surrey police have recommended letting your neighbours know if you plan to sunbathe nude and wrote in a Facebook post, if you want to wander around your garden naked and you're overlooked by neighbours, then you have to be careful. An Englishman's home is not quite his castle and your garden is not exempt from the law. My question is it okay to sunbathe naked in your own garden?
20 seconds, Josh. Go.
Of course it's okay to sunbathe. Like, this story is absolutely ridiculous. Like, yeah, I'm going to sunbathe. I've sunbathed naked last week in my garden. Like, I don't think there's a problem with it. I want a good tan.
Wait, you sunbathe naked in your garden?
Yeah.
Naked?
Absolutely naked.
And do you have neighbours overlooking your garden?
I mean, if they're on their second floor of their house, they'll be able to see, yeah.
Right. Okay.
Let's never go to Josh's house.
I mean, so, I'm not naked all the time.
Okay, only on warm days we will stay away from Josh's house.
I sunbathe naked, especially when people come around.
I think it's okay if you agree with your neighbours.
No!
I do.
No. Why? What's wrong about it?
Because...
First of all, why are they looking in my garden?
Well,
because they're looking out the window, Josh.
No, if they look out their window, they're looking into their garden. Why are they? It's quite a difficult thing to look over a fence down into someone else's garden.
No, it's absolutely not.
Properly down into someone's garden.
So what about my garden? My garden goes all the way down. All the gardens are on a lower part of the street. So from our kitchens, we can see down into everybody's garden. So whilst I'm washing the dishes, I don't want to see a pair of bollocks.
I just think that by looking in, then don't look.
It could actually be quite threatening if someone's
waltzing.
Should we be allowed to waltz naked in our garden?
I mean, that's a different.
This is
question.
A different topic.
Like, yeah. If you're static, it's okay. If they're moving, like
it's
no.
A different story. There's like bits going around.
There's just too many flying bits. No. I completely disagree. Okay. Like if you're looking out your window and you see something, you just don't look. Like,
what if it's, I don't know, a person that is purposefully making themselves in view of someone's window and showing their genitals. What's that? That's harassment
flashing.
To me.
That's flashing.
Yeah, but they're in their garden.
That is, like they said,
That's
what did they say?
That's harassment. Harassment, alarm and distress. Yeah, that is harassment if you're deliberately like
that's
posting yourself
like,
through a letterbox.
Yeah,
but they could say, well, it's my garden, I can do what I want.
No, that's different. That is very different.
If you think that's different.
Because you're then taking it away. If you're deliberately putting yourself outside someone's view or that's not sunbathing, is it really, I suppose?
What about turning it the other way? What if, you know, a female is sunbathing and someone's teenage sons consistently keep looking down?
Well, they need to be taught properly not to sexualize the female body.
Would the woman have the right...
Nice, Josh.
Would the woman have the right to complain to those parents and kind of ask them to stop looking?
No. Not at all. I don't think so. I don't believe so. I'd like to think my children were educated enough not to be like that. But, you know, she also knows she's in display and full on, you know, everyone
you
can
see
her.
You're
in plain view.
What I find interesting about this was I didn't know that it's not illegal to be naked in public. Mm. I thought if you went down the street, like...
No, it's illegal to be naked in public.
No, as long as your intent is not to, like, to distress people deliberately, you can, according to this at least, you can just walk around naked in the street.
Yeah, and the complainant has to prove that there was an intention to upset and shock.
Which is really interesting.
Wow.
Yep. So
I don't know. I thought it was just completely.
Well, that's kind of.
Well, that's why
different.
Those.
It's wishy-washy.
Those naked
bit, isn't it?
Cycling things work out.
Oh yeah, cool.
Yeah,
oh,
of course,
they're very popular.
People do like naked run for lives and.
But in 2015, a man was cautioned or spoken to by police for getting too excited.
Oh no!
He had to put his jeans back on, which is awful to cycle in.
See, I think
yes, that's the issue. He would have been terribly uncomfortable.
Think of the chafing.
Poor him.
I think the thing about this though is that we do. I'm just with you, Lucy. We live in a society where the norm is that you're kind of covering up part of your body, at least like the genitalia area. Like I get the topless sunbathing is a different thing because free the nipple and all that and equality.
No, but what's the difference between free the nipple and free the vagina? Like, or free the penis? Like you need to normalize the sexual parts of your body. Cause
why do you need to normalize?
That's why we have
they
a
have
problem.
No purpose other than the things that you're doing.
Well, exactly.
With them,
so why is it a big deal? Why is it a
why
big deal?
Why do they need to be out?
Why do they not need to be out? Why is it such a big deal? That exactly what you're saying.
They're not very pretty.
No, but they're not. Quite ugly, aren't they? They're not,
okay, granted, it's not the nicest thing, especially yours.
But I suppose that's sort of like saying like, oh, well, ugly people shouldn't be allowed outside because they're a bit ugly.
Exactly. That's awful, Luke. Jesus.
Yeah, obviously, that's awful.
Wow.
I wasn't condoning that.
Oh, my God.
Dear.
I was proving myself wrong with a bad point.
You know, for once, I actually agree with the law as it is. I don't want a change in this. I think it's fine unless your neighbours complain. And in order to avoid that, it's maybe best to have a conversation with them first.
Well, if they complain, though, they have to prove that it was with malicious intent, which I also agree with. Like, I guess where the grey line comes into it for me is that in my garden, I'm going to be naked. If you're looking into my garden, if you're looking at me, that's your problem. I don't care of the age.
Don't
like,
perv.
I just don't, you know, that's my right to tan my body properly in the way that I want to.
But do you think you should maybe warn them first? Like, out of courtesy, not out of law, out of courtesy.
I probably would.
Okay, so did you last week?
No.
Oh, so you wouldn't then?
I think think it's a bit of a weird thing to just go up to your neighbour and be like, by the way, I'm going to be naked in my garden.
What I found uncomfortable...
Look if you want to, but...
is like, yeah, what I found uncomfortable is you're sort of going,
yeah, you're kind
well,
of
I'm going to be naked, so if you want to look, like, I will
they
be there.
They could take that as an invitation.
I'm going to be naked. You could just... Yeah,
my neighbours are weird at the best of times as well, so I don't think...
See, I have lovely neighbours, but I don't want to be naked.
Lucy, what do you think if you flip this round? Say you were to decide to go out in your garden naked, and you had pre-warned your neighbours, as you say should probably be the case. Mm-hmm. What would you say if you then had like a creepy teenage boy staring down at you and you'd chosen to be out there? What would you do in that situation?
I would take it upon myself to stop sunbathing naked.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
I can't control what they do, so I'm going to cover up. I don't like ogling or anything.
Is the guy naked?
No, sorry, I don't. I mean, you can't tell. He's in the window. He's not.
That makes it very different.
Okay. It was an important factor.
But yeah, because that is essentially the flip round version of this, is that they're then in their house and you are presenting yourself to them.
Yeah.
And
in your house, technically.
And it's sort of, it's a weird one, isn't it?
Well, the bit I find weird is I didn't know you could walk around naked in public.
I think that's fascinating.
That was the most surprising thing about this whole story to me.
What have we started with Josh next week?
Josh is going to come in
if
naked.
If you hear a squeaking.
what's going to be squeaking?
Well, I don't know, we haven't had the seats. I don't know.
Educating naked Josh.
Educating naked Josh. 100th episode special. What I found really weird about this as well was sun worshippers as a name is bizarre.
Sun and also, worshippers.
I love that Surrey Police wrote, an Englishman's home is not quite his castle. I love that. It's just
so British.
Your
garden is not exempt from the law.
And your garden is not exempt from the law.
The Queen owns your garden.
My home is my castle, thank you very much.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Does it have a moat? The law.
Does it have alligators, Josh?
I can design my castle the way I want to. It doesn't have to have a moat.
On that note, I think we've pretty much exhausted this topic, and we'll move on. And you can let us know what you think in our polls at Educating Josh on Twitter. It's time for the last story. That's James's story.
My headline comes from the BBC. Giant Donald Trump baby balloon plan sparks online row. These are the three things you need to know, Josh. Campaigners recently raised almost £18,000 to pay for a giant inflatable depicting President Trump as a baby with the plan to fly it over London during his visit to the UK. London Mayor Sadiq Khan has given his permission for the 6-metre-high inflatable to fly, but there has been a mixed reaction across social media from some people. Republicans' overseas spokesman Drew Lickerman... Is it Lickerman or Lickerman?
Amazing.
Lickerman.
Lickerman.
That's amazing.
Lickerman.
Lickerman
or Lickerman?
Lickerman.
Lickerman? Lickerman?
Carry on, James.
Republicans' overseas spokesman Drew Lickerman said the blimp was cringeworthy and, frankly, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for the people flying it, for the British residents of London, and for the people in the UK. But many have seen the funnier side and see it as a funny protest to his first visit to the capital since becoming president. Leo Murray, who was behind the crowdfunded idea, said, "Mr. Trump really seems to hate it when people make fun of him. We want to make sure he knows that all of Britain is looking down on him and laughing at him. My question is it fair to make personal attacks towards someone you disagree with ideologically?"
20 seconds, Josh, go.
I don't think it's fair at all. And I'm quite disappointed in the behaviour of the British public in this instance. You've raised £18,000, give it to cancer research or a homeless family. And you're actually belittling your behaviour to the same kind of behaviour that Trump does on Twitter. Like, this whole story, like, really disappoints me. It makes me quite upset. And then people have stood around going, yeah, look at us, we're protesting this and protesting that. He's an American president. He's done a lot more than a lot of people have. And regardless of your beliefs against him, you've raised £18,000 to literally personally attack someone. I just don't think it's on, regardless of what they think he's done.
Yes. The only thing I would say is that he doesn't really take criticism in terms of his politics. It just kind of seems that when people criticize his politics and what he's doing, he just kind of sweeps it aside and goes, yeah, well, they're wrong.
Great. You kind of have to. You're
as a president, you kind of have to sometimes. Also, I haven't seen him really acknowledge anything at all. But when people take the mick out of him personally, he gets really, really upset. Like he spits his dummy. He throws the tantrum on Twitter. It kind of seems like, I think this is fine because I think it's really funny because he does spit the dummy all the time. Yeah. And this is kind of like spitting the dummy back at him a bit.
I guess, but I'm just kind of disappointed. It's like, raise more money to campaign against bombing Syria. Like, raise more money to stop actual atrocities. Stop adding flames and fuel to this boring, elongated circle jerk of Trumpism.
But I think that's the point, isn't it? That Trump doesn't really listen to any campaigning. So he only listens to when people make him look silly.
He doesn't. He tweets, he gets 50,000 retweets on it, and then he hides another bill that he pushes through government that he wants. Like, everyone's so focused on his tweets and all this media side of things, they don't actually notice that behind the scenes he's getting every little thing that he wants.
Yeah, well, the other thing, I think he probably might be secretly loving this, and the fact that he visits the UK and they put up a giant inflatable balloon. Yeah.
From everywhere in London, you get to see him.
You get to see Trump as he visits London. I don't think he'd publicly say that.
I mean, I doubt that, because one of the things he was saying was he wasn't going to come. As far as I'm aware, this may not be true, this is just what I remember, but he said that he didn't want to come to England unless Theresa May banned protests against him. And so he is, ridiculous. I will double check that before we put that out. But he is somebody whose ego is incredibly fragile. And as far as the left is aware, the way to get to him and the way to knock him down is to make him seem silly.
In your opinion, he
got so hung up about his tiny hands thing, and he was like, oh, well, my penis is really big, so it doesn't matter. He said, well, I guarantee there's no problem elsewhere. There's no problem. In the election, he said that.
Oh, that is so embarrassing. The whole thing is embarrassing. I'm embarrassed. I am embarrassed. I don't think it's fair, but I think it's going to happen. I mean, what's the difference between someone holding up a sign saying, we hate you, Trump, and someone paying for this? I think the only difference is that Sadiq Khan has approved it.
Which, again, I'm really disappointed in Sadiq Khan.
I'm really embarrassed.
I mean, Sadiq Khan said that basically protest is legal in this country and protest takes many forms.
It's right, so he hasn't actively
said
that.
I agree that Sadiq Khan probably found it hilarious.
I don't know if he's actively gone. I don't think he actually has actively gone, yes, this is a good thing, I'm glad this is happening.
Well,
he's approved it, yeah. And he was on Good Morning
He's just
Britain.
Approved it and gone, if people want to protest, then.
Piers Morgan, I know you're not his biggest fan, Josh, but he did come up with a point. He said, what if another group decides to show Sadiq Khan as a pig, which is offensive to Muslims, in another balloon? Would he approve that?
I mean, that directly
that
affects a religion. So
it does bring in racism.
But that's just a technicality. I do. Or, it does make sense. What
if there's a flying black baby of Barack Obama? Would people have an issue with that?
Well, that's because
race and religion is it takes.
Well, it's not. It wouldn't really be race, would it? Because Barack Obama is black. If they made because I was thinking about that, and what James's original question was. Is it fair to make personal attacks towards somebody you disagree with ideologically? And general, I agree with Josh. No, it's not. It's a form of bullying, essentially. However, Trump is not a normal case. And for me, Trump is somebody who's won based on personality and based on celebrity.
Brilliant. So let's lower ourselves to his level.
So you have to hit it back. You have to hit back in the same way.
You really don't. That's why he's in power. Like, that's why this just keeps adding fuel to it. I don't agree with that at all. You don't. So you're saying the best way to fight fire is with fire, which is something I don't agree with at all. It's like a personal joke.
But also, regardless of who Trump is and what he thinks, this is like a bullying attack. And it's something that's all over the media. We've got to prevent bullying and help children through bullying. They're seeing
Is it fair to make personal attacks towards an individual?
Can I actually ask, right, anyone here, like, what's the thing that Trump's done that's upset you the most? And you're not allowed to mention his tweets, his social media, his stupid little tantrums, anything like that. Because that's the first thing that comes into everyone's brain is like, oh, he did this and it was really stupid and he did this and it was really stupid. Like,
well, you're setting your own terms there. You're going, well, what's upset you about Trump except for this and this and this and this?
In his political career.
I would say
based on this area of Trump, what's upset
on his politics, which is his job.
The thing he's
his job.
Done for me, I think, that upsets me the most is we were talking earlier in this podcast about, well, if racists like somebody, then that's potentially a problem, right? If racists like Nigel Farage, then Nigel Farage at least should stand up and go, by the way, racism is wrong. Mm. And Trump has not done that. Trump is followed by racists, Trump is followed by Nazis, and he hasn't once put out a statement saying Nazism is wrong, for example. He's the president of the United States, and he's not condemning Nazism.
He's opening doors for people to kind of legitimizing show their true colours that they wouldn't have shown before, I think.
I'm trying to find something positive in this because you're so anti it. But really, yes, it's a form of bullying. It is childish and babyish.
If that's the behaviour of his that I'm just not going to bring myself down.
I do agree with you on the side of like, what is this going to achieve realistically?
Absolutely.
The most it will achieve is get a reaction from Trump on Twitter.
Well, you can let us know what you think over on Twitter in our polls at Educating Josh. It's time for the quick fire round. Josh, England are through to the semi-final of the World Cup for the first time since any of us were born.
It's coming home.
We actually didn't get it's coming home into any of the stories. Very disappointing.
It's coming home. Football's coming home.
You know, I can't wait for football to come home, so you can shut up. Elon Musk has sent a team of engineers out to Thailand to rescue the boys trapped in a cave in what some are calling on Twitter a publicity stunt.
Oh, interesting. I mean, you kind of need to get them out.
I mean, but they got out anyway. He just sent them pointlessly.
Get out.
They got there and then they went, oh, they're already out. All right. And okay. A group of lesbians protested at Pride this week, alleging that transgender people are trying to force them into having sex with trans women who have penises.
I do not understand what you just said.
Oh, right then, doesn't matter.
There's a lot of words.
That was very confusing. Yeah,
probably have to be a whole story. We'll get Jake back.
Wow. Why would Jake be able to explain it better?
Well, because he understands the transgender movement, Josh. Shut up. You are... shut up.
However,
don't try and make me look transphobic, Joshua Winslade. And Josh, the good news story of the week, flight attendants helped save a French bulldog's life by supplying an oxygen mask when he had trouble breathing on a plane.
It's adorable, but they're like my least favourite dog.
There's a really cute picture and he's got a little mask on his face. Oh, it's adorable.
I love bulldogs and pit bulls.
For irresponsible breeding with their breathing conditions. But let's not make that depressing.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Educating Josh. We had a good week. I think we agreed on all three stories pretty much this week. That's fantastic.
Be the weather.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook at Educating Josh, where there'll be polls and content from each of today's stories, and we'd love to hear your thoughts. We also want you to send in more questions for next week's Quick Fire Round. Please go subscribe, and most importantly, leave a review over on Apple Podcasts or your podcast app of choice. This has been Educating Josh, a Studio 71 production. We'll see you next week for another episode of Educating Josh. Sorry about the drilling. Goodbye.
Bye.